This is Greater LA. It's KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The waves lap quietly at the shores of Catalina Island, a couple dozen miles south of Long Beach, where in these pandemic times, only essential travelers can visit. Back before the lockdown and the germs and the hand sanitizers and the total halt to tourism, a million people came here every year to enjoy the island ambiance. In Avalon, the island's largest town, 100-year-old chimes ring out every 15 minutes to indicate the time. Now and then a golf cart drives by. There are very few cars on the island. These days, that tourism is gone. And there are only a few thousand people who call Avalon home year-round. They're the waitresses and hotel managers and harbor workers who keep the tourism economy running. Resident Leticia Alvarez says it's idyllic.
And this is a great place to raise a kid. Pretty much you have 3,000 babysitters because everybody looks for your kids.
The paradise comes with a high price. Even before the pandemic, it was a beautiful but difficult place to live. Avalon residents work hard to be here. Many of them actually hold two or three jobs because the cost of living here is really high. Avalon, like the rest of California, has a housing crisis, but the crisis here has its own unique island flavor. Back when trips to Avalon for fun and curiosity were possible, KCRW's Kaylee Wells went there to find out more about housing on Catalina. She's got a report on that, and then after that, we'll be back with more on how the islanders are handling the difficulties of COVID-19.
It was May 1989 when Leticia Alvarez came to Catalina. Like a lot of others, she moved from Mexico to work for the summer when visitors come in and the workforce more than doubles. Wages were low, but you could work a couple jobs, get a lot of hours, and the housing was cheap.
You could find places, like my first place was just a little room for $300.
Then as the summer rush was dying down and Alvarez was getting ready to go home,
we start dating almost by the time I was going to go back to Mexico. And then he asked me to marry him. So.
She met a boy from Michigan, and they never left. 3 years later, they had a daughter, then another one. Leticia's husband has since passed away, and the daughters have moved over town. That's what islanders call the mainland. But 31 years later, Alvarez is still here. Now it's hard to sit with her in town without getting interrupted. It's the classic small town story. Everyone knows everyone.
Betty's famous.
You know everybody.
Can I get your autograph?
Yeah, everybody knows me.
Of course.
You might think after 31 years, she'd have the stability of owning a home by now. But Avalon is a renter's town, especially if you're like Alvarez and you work at a restaurant. Making rent every month is hard enough. She rented the same building for 27 years. And then when the landlord died and the building was sold, she was stuck.
I started literally going street by street. I asked all my friends, my brothers, all my friends were looking for a place for me. We couldn't find anything.
If you can't find anything by word of mouth, you can try putting your name on a wait list at one of the bigger apartment complexes. Alvarez put in her name. Years went by. Nothing. The eviction notice was already posted on her door.
I was about to leave the island because I couldn't find anything.
And then, at the last minute, after 5 years, one landlord called her back.
She goes, there is one person ahead of you, one family. She goes, and let me check with them because the apartment is 2 bedrooms. And in that period of time, they have another kid.
The family ahead of her passed, and Alvarez had a place to live. Now she pays $2,200 a month in rent and utilities for her 2-bedroom townhouse.
I was like, oh my God, got so lucky because, see, I've been here for 30 years before it wasn't that hard.
Like the rest of California, it was more affordable when there were fewer people living here. In 1970, 1,500 people called Avalon home. Now it's up over 4,000. A lot of people who grew up here want to raise their own families here. It's not hard to see why. During the day, it's not weird to see first graders walking home by themselves or 8-year-olds riding their scooters alone after dark. One islander called the town a bubble, and everything over town was the real world. One of those grown-up kids is Bill Garcia. That's how he introduced himself to me, but everyone here still calls him Billy.
been here since pretty much a young baby. Went to high school here, graduated.
Like Alvarez, Garcia only got housing after years on a wait list. He applied for a low-income apartment unit when his oldest son was a baby.
Actually, I had put in an application there probably about 10 years prior to that.
Garcia says his housing is pretty nice. It's government-run, so officials check in regularly to make sure everything's running well. But that's not always the case. To help provide for Avalon's workers, the city requires companies to house a certain percentage of their employees. The biggest landlord in town is the Santa Catalina Island Company, which also owns boat tours, half a dozen hotels, the famous casino, and other businesses. So they own a lot of homes, but there's no regulation about the conditions inside. A lot of buildings in town haven't seen investment in decades. Renovation is expensive and demand is high, so tenants pay the kind of rent you would expect in West LA, but they've got leaky roofs, windows that don't close, heat that doesn't turn on. Meanwhile, a lot of landlords have figured out the real money is in vacation rentals. The streets of town on a weekday in the winter are pretty empty.
I think that's a rental. This is a rental. That's privately owned. See vacation rental there. This is privately owned and they're hardly over here. This is a rental. This is a rental. This is a rental.
Mayor Annie Marshall points from her golf cart as we truck up Descanso Avenue, one of Avalon's main drags. She's been here since 1984, when far more homes were owner-occupied.
Halloween would come, and everybody was out in the front of their street giving out candy. Well, now, on just my block alone, there's probably four of us, because they're vacation rentals.
Some islanders want to see more Airbnb restrictions, but others, including Marshall and the rest of the city council, are hesitant. Fewer vacation rentals means less business for a town that lives on tourism. Don't bite the visitors, the saying goes. They feed the locals. There's also calls for rent control for the year-round residents.
If we said rent control here, we'd be hung from the rafters, I believe.
Marshall says forcing rent control might encourage even more landlords to use their property as a vacation rental, which could further the housing crisis for year-round renters. So why not build more housing? Well, since the 70s, nearly 90% of the island has been protected by the Catalina Island Conservancy. Not only is it protected from construction, you need a permit to drive anywhere in what islanders call the interior. So expansion is limited to a few thousand square feet here and there. And then, even if you do find the property, there's the water problem. Ironic for an island, but there's limited freshwater access. Southern California Edison controls the water and is conservative in doling it out.
If we did a big buildup and then we ended up in a drought again before we have the water sustainability issue answered, they're being very cautious in new allocations.
Building more housing requires waiting. Yeah, another wait list. And the city of Avalon doesn't get to jump to the front of the line.
I know that we have our name on the list, so if we wanted to develop some affordable housing at some point, we could have water for that.
Plus, building on an island is expensive. There's no clear way out. And yet residents will make every effort not to pick up everything and move over town.
You've been here 36 years. Why is it worth it?
Okay, you've been walking around today. What do you think? You know, I mean, there are so many advantages. Number one, you don't have a lot of choices. That makes your life easier. Usually I walk, but if I need to go for groceries, I have a golf cart. The children can walk to school. The town is very friendly. So as you know, we don't have mailmen. We just have a post office. So you go to the post office and you get to chat with people all the time. And it's just a real close-knit community. It's amazing how this town comes together.
All of the islanders with secure housing call themselves lucky. It's the price, they say, for living in paradise. Reporting from Catalina for KCRW, I'm Kaylee Wells.
26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance.
Well, Kaylee's story, of course, was reported during those happier days, right before you descended into a COVID vortex. That was then, this is now, and Catalina's economy has been hit hard by the pandemic. Particularly tough is the loss of all the tourism. It should have been happening right now as the weather warms up. Now, on the plus side, Catalina's isolation has resulted in only 2 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Well, to hear more about how the island has fared over the past couple of months, I'm joined now by 2 of the people who Kaylee talked to for her story, longtime resident Leticia Alvarez. Leticia, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, and Annie Marshall is the mayor of the town of Avalon. Mayor, thank you for being with us as well.
It's my pleasure.
I want to start with you, Mayor, because the economy everywhere obviously has been hit hard. Tell us how things have been affected on the island of Catalina and in your town.
We are a tourist-based economy 100%. So when you cut off your lifeblood, things start to die.
Leticia, I want to bring you in because you lost your waitressing job. How hard has that been for you?
It is really hard. It started really bad. Right now, I'm kind of okay, but not in the future, because when they closed down the place where I work, they said we were going to close for 2 weeks only. But about a couple of weeks ago, I got a call from my boss that he's not reopening anymore. So I completely lost my job, and unemployment, you don't kick right away. So I was getting only like less money that I have to pay for rent. So paying bills and food and everything, it was not included until they accepted the extra $600. That's when I kind of have a relief. But I was hoping, you know, going back to work when everything goes back to normal. But now I have no idea what I'm going to do because I have no job.
We heard, Leticia, how hard it is to get a place to live on Catalina. It's not cheap to live there.
Exactly.
Obviously. Are you concerned about staying there and keeping your apartment?
I am thinking about it because as a one single person income and having a rent almost $2,000 is like, and unemployed is kind of harsh, you know. I'm just thinking maybe I should just cut my losses and move over town with my daughter. But right now it's like I don't even want to move out of the island because it's kind of like a safe haven here, you know. Like you don't have as much contact with people that are getting sick or anything like that. So, but I'm considering, you know, after 30 years here, almost 31 years here, I'm like thinking about it.
Mayor, I know that the city council met yesterday to talk about opening the town back up to visitors at the end of the month. What did the council decide?
Well, after a lot of conversation and input from the community, both for and against kind of opening up Avalon slowly, we have decided that the harbor is going to open this Friday. So boaters may come, mooring owners and other visitors may come and pick up a mooring ball and stay with us. And the other conversation and result was that as of June 1st, we will be accepting visitors in the vacation rentals and in the hotels. You cannot sit on the beach. You can only swim, you know, do water activities and do exercise on the beach like running. But other than that, there's not a lot going on.
What about the city budget? I mean, you mentioned all the loss of revenue, the tax revenue that you guys normally would get. I would imagine that makes for some hard decisions that you're going to have to make.
Oh, yes. We had a budget session included in that meeting last night. And even with projections of maybe 30% of the visitors count, we still are going to have to look at drastic cuts.
What kind of drastic cuts? I mean, are you talking about layoffs? Are you talking about, you know, cuts to services?
It could be that. I know that the city does. We don't have the ability to cut out, or we don't want to cut out any departments, you know, just wipe those off. And we have contractual obligations with the county for county sheriffs. You know, we have to continue with that contract. We have LA County paramedics and lifeguards. Of course, we need to maintain that contract. But we have cut a lot of our trash pickups and the maintenance of our public bathrooms. Right now, those are closed. So we have cut those contracts back. However, with people still coming to the island now, then hopefully a few more, we'll have to open those up.
Leticia, you've been You've been safe there on the island from the pandemic, and you know, you're healthy. What about your family? Are they doing okay? You mentioned possibly moving back in with others on the mainland.
Yeah, my daughter lives in Long Beach, and she has a 3-bedroom condo, so she has room for me, and she's still working. She works from home, both her and her husband, but it's like she offered, but I'm not quite sure I want to go there, you know. Health-wise, I'm really good. My sisters live up on Bakersfield, and they still working because they work for market supermarket. So it's scary because my sister's boss kind of got sick with the COVID. So fortunately, he didn't get in touch with anybody, so everybody was safe. But on the other hand, I have family in Mexico. In a couple of weeks, my brother-in-law passed away due to COVID. And then my sister found out on the day before Mother's Day, she found out that she also had it and her son has it. So two of them, they've been quarantined. They're doing better, but I mean, her husband passed away. It's kind of hard to not to be able to visit or anything, you know, but it's like we're trying to do the best we can with what we have.
Mayor, you're a part of L.A. County. You're a part, you know, the whole island is in Los Angeles County, and you have to abide by the pretty strict safer-at-home orders. Do you foresee, given that there are so few cases on Catalina, that you can try and maybe open up a little more robustly, perhaps, than other parts of the county or the state?
Well, that was a discussion or a presentation by our assistant city manager yesterday, that Governor Newsom is considering allowing cities to do this attestation with their plan of how to continue to be safe. Being a part of LA County, which is a hotspot, but we are not, we are going to try to go down that road, and that might loosen up some things so that perhaps our two hair salons and our one little barbershop can open, and it's a barbershop of one, so that they can open doing whatever is required for the protocol. So we are going to be moving forward with that. I don't know how long that's going to take, but I know staff is working on that currently.
We're going to keep an eye on you guys, and like we've done with everybody else in L.A. County and greater L.A., Mayor Annie Marshall, the mayor of Avalon, and Leticia Alvarez, who's been living on the island for more than 30 years. Thanks to you both. Good luck to you. And my condolences, Leticia.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance, 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 romance.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
You're back now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We've been looking at many ways in which the pandemic is reshaping life, and today, the workplace. Big tech, including right here in LA's Silicon Beach, doubled down on the open office floor plan. No separate offices, rows and rows of open desks, not even cubicles. And then, of course, your foosball table or napping corner, maybe meditation pod just to break all the monotony. But does the COVID-19 pandemic and its free-spreading virus mean the death of the open office? Are you even, or will you ever be comfortable going back into an office with your coworkers if you're able to work from home? Here with some answers is Francis Anderton from KCRW's Design and Architecture Desk. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Steve.
So these offices for Google and Facebook and Apple, they're known for their wide open campuses. Are they really considering giving up on those kinds of spaces?
Well, this came about because there was a report recently that both Google and Facebook have told their employees that they can work remotely until 2021. Twitter was reported as saying that its employees can work from home forever. So too Square, another startup company in San Francisco. So anyway, we're talking about companies that in the last 10 to 20 years have set the standard for so-called creative office space. These are the companies that are by definition highly tech savvy. They could have been telecommuting for years, but in fact had gone almost in the opposite direction and had been commanding colossal amounts of office space, then hiring very interesting designers and architects to create really sort of fabulous, sort of fun, so-called creative spaces. The theory being that you can attract, you know, top talent who will then work for long hours if you provide a place that essentially feels almost like a mini city, hundreds if not thousands of workers, all sorts of fun stuff to do, like you mentioned, the foosball at Google, the free food, the lounging areas, the meditation, on and on. The idea that the workplace becomes creative through its design. And here we have these very companies now suggesting that their employees can telecommute moving on. And what does this mean? I reached out to Clive Wilkinson. He's an architect familiar to us because he designed our own new headquarters. He's a leader in this field. He happens to have designed Googleplex, one of the early Google workspaces in Mountain View. He also designed Chai at Day, the LA advertising agency. I ran by Clive this notion that these tech companies might henceforth have their workers stay at home, and he felt that this would not work in the long run.
They might have set the tone in the past, but I think that the tone going forward in the future is going to be set by smaller, more agile, and more creative companies who are going to, in a way, probably be formative in a new workplace concept, which has to do with a hybrid working.
Hybrid working? What does that mean?
Well, what Clive is referring to with hybrid is that what we might see in the future is some mix where a company has some of its employees working at home on the kind of solo work, and then the office space becomes more of a place that's oriented towards the highly collaborative work where you need to do the engagement. I'm also hearing that the offices might be more of a kind of external kind of brand positioning for the company. That's where you go to really get the flavor of the company. You don't necessarily get to meet all its employees, many of whom might be continuing to do a fair amount of work at home, even if it might be 1 to 3 days per week.
It's fascinating to me, Francis, because if we're talking about like hybrid workspace or people, you know, not feeling comfortable to go to work, or this change in the way we work together, I mean, it seems like there's going to be a big impact on the office space side of all of this, right?
Yes, and certainly in preparing to talk to you today, I put out a lot of calls to the owners of buildings that lease out to commercial office space. Certainly one that I did speak to is a gentleman named Tom Ricci. He's with CoreTrust Capital Partners. They own 444 South Flower Tower on Bunker Hill, as well as other properties. They've particularly reached out to these so-called sort of creative tenants. Now, he said that they're in a kind of watch and wait pattern. Currently, during shelter in place, he says you've seen 15% of their tenant body has been coming to the space. As it happens, they had already been doing a lot of maintenance and upgrade to bring in better air, to make their elevators phone controllable, so you wouldn't have to touch the button. They happened already to have been making these changes. So he feels kind of confident that they're sort of ready for people to come back post shelter in place. He also argues that what one might see, and we get back to Clive's point about the hybrid, we might see companies holding on to the same amount of square footage, but filling it with less people. So each individual winds up with more space to themselves, more distance between themselves and the next employee. So it's an interesting conundrum, but very definitely there are some changes coming to creative office space, and LA is going to be one of the places to watch how that unfolds.
Frances Anderton from KCRW's Design and Architecture Desk. Frances, thanks.
You're very welcome, Steve.
Ah, the future. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan is wrapping up this weekend. What it's been like praying at home and away from the mosque. It is obviously a pandemic that's turned life upside down for a lot of folks. I hope you're managing okay. But what about the bright side? What are some things you're doing now that you'd like to keep doing once things at some point get back to some semblance of normal, i.e. the future? We're building a community series about the things you'd perhaps like to hold on to after staying safe at home. Call us at 877-600-KCRW or share your thoughts with us at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast while you're there. I'm Steve Chitakis. Thanks for your ears and attention. Have some, well, find some beauty today and have a great day.